I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, you will find a safe space here if you're an independent thinker or aspire to be, beholden to no party, no politician. We just call them as we see them. I may actually today get into some Tech Tuesday stuff. I saw a terrifying dystopian video that's online. I'll talk about. I've been this for about a week and don't think I've ever had time to get to it in the show. I think I'm going to get it in there today. It is one of those we have seen a lot of these science fiction type things. This is a short video. I think it's only 15 minutes long. And you see a lot of future dystopian stuff, but it all seems, it can be a little ominous. Maybe someday we get there. This one was ominous, and you realize if you watch it, you think, wow, I think that could happen like next month. It's about a tattletale society. And I'm going to talk about it and encourage you to go watch it just to start thinking about what the future may hold for us, what we have seen humanity do. Turn us into a bunch of snitches, a bunch of Karens, running around screaming at the other people, not wearing a mask, daring to go out for a spring break party. We're going to talk about that and then some technology we don't know about that seems to be coming from the government these days. So we'll get to that as well. My quotes of the day today. This is PJ O'Rourke said, you know, if government was a product, selling it would be illegal. Government is a health hazard. Governments have killed many more people than cigarettes or unbuckled seatbelts ever have. And James Bovard writes, if citizens wish to retain their liberty, they cannot assume that those who seek power over them are honest. Skepticism of government is one of the most important and most forgotten bulwarks of freedom. We point that out on this show. Talk about skepticism of government. Bordering on abject hate on this show. It is it's March Madness going on right now. This is my favorite sporting event of the year. This is a fairly long tournament of games with kids just busting their humps to win a game. And they're not getting paid millions of dollars to do it. Now, that may change. They're starting to get the rights to sell their likenesses and these kinds of things. But even a lot of these guys and the stars that have got NBA careers in front of them, you have just got guys, they are hustling out there. This is the only real sport that I could watch a good chunk of March Madness, not caring about either one of the team, no emotional attachment to either team, but you can pick up a game, particularly in the second half, and if it's close, it could be just a fantastic game. It's also a time when David's beat Goliath's on a regular basis. I saw something the other day. 20 million people had filled out their brackets on, I believe it was NCAA.com. It might have been CBS Sports. I believe they said 20 point something million brackets were filled out, and they didn't survive the first two rounds. I think after one round, they had 127 perfect brackets, and they were all gone by the end of round two. Because there's so many surprises in March Madness, but it is really, really fantastic. But I take away I just think something worth pointing out, and I'm a bit of a broken record on this, but I just can't help looking at this. And in the world that we live in today, you know what I see when I watch these basketball games? I see black kids and white kids working hard together, chest bumping, high-fiving, cheering each other on from the sideline to accomplish a goal. In this time of endless talk about race and privilege, and believe me, in basketball, tall people have an advantage. So you know what happens when you look at basketball? Because not everybody on the court is tall. But the tall people are privileged when it comes to basketball. Take it from someone who is vertically challenged. The shorter guys really work on their ball handling and their outside shots. You ever notice this? And some of them are pretty good going inside too. But this is really, this should be really kind of our life lesson to watch, not just as a wildly entertaining sport with inspirational stories of beating the odds that happen every single NCAA tournament. But, and I don't care if any of these teams take a knee or do any of these other things. I'm not talking about the politics of the team or what they might express. The bottom line is these guys show up to practice every day. They go out to games every day. And you just watch them. Watch them on the sidelines. You know, and I got to tell you, I was watching last night. I watched the Alabama-Maryland game. There was a real lack of diversity on the court. I mean, it was just striking. And we're told that diversity is our strength. How in the world could Alabama have put together such a strong performance last night with such little diversity? I do not know if I saw a single white player. I didn't catch the whole game until the very end when both teams put their second teams in because Alabama was so convincingly ahead. You know, they do this. Both teams put in their second string. A couple of white guys got in then, but for the vast majority of the game, I don't think I saw a single white player, even with all of the substitutions. But you know what? It didn't matter. That 10 of the 10 of the black players and all of the white guys that I saw on the sidelines, they were cheering on all of the guys on the court. You know why? Because they realized all of those guys that were on the court had earned their position on the court by working hard and being very talented kids. But there was no diversity. I mean, okay, aren't we supposed to talk about these things? I did not see the Asian community represented at all on the basketball court last night. How can we allow this? And again, why were all 10 players on the courts black last night? Was it some kind of program? Was it some affirmative action? No, it wasn't. It is... The structure of every successful organization is that they put the best part of their team in the front. The people who work the hardest have the most natural talent, and some of those kids were born with natural talent I couldn't even dream of. How is that fair? Shouldn't they be forced to play with only one hand or have their feet bonded at birth so that they can equal the playing field? And the thing is that no Alabama fans last night were watching this with the skeptical eye I was. Of course, obviously, I'm being rather sarcastic in it, but they were just cheering on their team. They don't care. White or black Alabama fan, Hispanic Alabama fan. I don't know. There were a whole lot of Hispanic Alabama fans as Alabama was raining down three-pointers and ahead by 23 points in the second half. I doubt there were a lot of Hispanic Alabama fans out there going, well, I mean, yeah, they're doing fine, but where is our representation on the floor? No. They were enjoying the victory. And this just seems like it's a moment to kind of bring this up, that where achievement is allowed, where hard work pays off, where talent pays off, people can be successful in things. And this is one of the problems with our country now. We focus on the surface of everything and not the bottom line. And I just say, I mean, if we are to be consistent, I think I saw, who was it the other day? Coca-Cola is now not going to hire any law firms that don't have diverse boards of directors, something along that line. Coke has gone woke. Another reason to avoid that high fructose corn syrup pushing company, but I digress. And the diet sodas. The diet sodas are no better. But instead of, you know, they may get what they ask for. See, Coke wants to appear that they care, but they don't necessarily want the best attorneys. Not to say that black or brown or anybody, the best attorneys are just the best attorneys. Would they not hire an all-black law firm at Coca-Cola, if they were the best attorneys around, would they refuse to hire an all-black law firm because they say, well, no, you just don't have enough transgenders in your practice? It's just, to me, striking. And maybe hypocritical and obviously disingenuous of all of the race baiters and the race hustlers out there that they love to focus on just the certain little examples that they bring up. And they are bringing one group right now into the fold of victimhood right now. We'll look at. I didn't get a chance to really talk about it yesterday, but the Asian community. The Asian community is being brought into, and we're going to talk about, you know, what have Asians accomplished since they've come to the United States without the help of the race hustlers and the political pimps? I don't know if anybody's noticed, but the Asian community, pretty successful. But they are letting the social justice warrior race hustlers sink their teeth into them, and it's really quite sad. We're going to get to that in just a second. We'll talk about these shootings. And then I got an Asian guy, an Asian YouTuber that, I don't know, points out some pretty inconvenient statistics to the whole narrative that Asians are being hunted. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
Now, should we talk about race some in this country? It just seems like nobody's ever talking about it. Can't we just have the conversation? It's really quite unbelievable. We've become such a shallow society in so many different ways, but particularly when it comes to race, because this identity politics, driven by the Democrats and the left, seeks to pigeonhole everybody by the color of their skin. Or it just doesn't matter. I mean, you've even got liberals on the left that just because of the fate of being born white, they declare themselves guilty of something. I don't know. Maybe they are guilty of something. Maybe they're finally confessing to the latent racism that's in them for thinking that black and brown people can't fend for themselves. I don't know, but it's amazing, and now they have decided to target Asian people. It took a while to get Asians on board with presenting themselves as victims. You know, this is a group that they were, and I'm going to use the word correctly here, literally rounded up and put into camps during World War II. Asian Americans here. They came out of those camps. They moved into our society and have excelled at a ton of different things. I mean, competing with Native Americans, but a lot of different metrics. Well, Asian community has done pretty well, right? Well, save basketball. Like I said, I didn't see any Asian guys on the courts last night. There might have been one on some team or two or three. I didn't see any at the Alabama-Maryland game. I'll put it that way. They've come over from these Asian countries and created all kinds of businesses, restaurants, nail salons, dry cleaners, all kinds of tech startups. If you look at Silicon Valley, all kinds of service businesses. Then Asians came into U.S. universities and just dominated, known to be some of the best students when it came to math and science. Just absolutely dominated. And it had become a lot of our scientists and researchers and academics in this country. And what's surprising to me, too, if this is working, and I hope it's not working with the Asian community, because, look, Asian community, whether there's some a-holes out there that are mad at you for coronavirus or just jerks that are just out there in general and attack an old lady on the street who happens to be Asian, I hope you don't fall for this victimhood that we're all being hunted. But I got to tell you, I saw a lot of rallies after this last shooting where six Asian women were killed, along with two white women, you know, kind of the asterisks. Oh, yeah, and some white ladies. But this is the same culture of people that brought us things like karate and jiu-jitsu, taekwondo, all kinds of self-defense battle stuff. And the thing that I like about the Asian culture is the Zen side of things. The meditative, the contemplative, the philosophy of life that is much more calm. I've used it myself in meditation and studying Buddhist philosophy and these things. But now the social justice warriors have gotten a hold of them. We're trying to pull them into the baskets of victims, and the media is ready to tell them that they're being terrorized. So they need to focus on that, not their great successes in the United States. And you know who else has been the target of this kind of a-hole hatred in this country over the years? Oh, the black community certainly had a long period of oppression here. You know who else? The Irish. You ever looked at the Irish, how the Irish were treated back in the 1920s? This is from just about every Native American. When the Irish came over, they were viewed almost as pests. Italians, Germans. Can you imagine being a German immigrating to the United States or being here while we're fighting Germany in World War II? Jewish people. Muslims. Oh, the Muslim community after 9/11. And right now in South Africa, I mean, whites are being treated this way in South Africa. And I guess they're trying to do that here. The point of trying to make is that every group has its challenges, and there are just a-holes out there. This idea that everybody is racist, and I'm going to let an Asian YouTuber kind of break down the statistics on these Asian attacks, supposedly, that they're being hunted in the streets. But the Asian culture has been so wildly successful here. As I say, they've dominated universities and great business creators. They've been wildly the only thing that can derail the Asian community at this point from the successes that they have attained in the United States is letting the social justice warriors, the race hustlers, and the political pimps grab a hold of them and convince them that they are victims. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but every group that has succumbed to that, things have not turned out real well for you. And so this was starting, you know, this idea of this oppression and targeting of Asians, this Asian hate that they are talking about, was starting before even these shootings in Atlanta. And I'll play you the report from that. I think they bring up the rather inconvenient fact that this shooting was in no way, shape, or form attributed at all to hatred of Asians. But don't let the facts get in the way of the race hustlers.
This morning, the FBI is now investigating a shooting spree that left 8 people dead at multiple massage parlors in the Atlanta area. Police first identified 21-year-old Robert Long as the suspect in a shooting that killed 4 people at a spa in Cherokee County, Georgia. About 1 hour later, investigators say a gunman matching Long's description walked into 2 other massage parlors in Atlanta, killing 4 more people.
It appears that all victims are female.
Okay, and race?
It appears that they may be Asian.
Atlanta police then dispatching officers to check nearby similar businesses.
This started up in Cherokee County. My understanding, they shot up a spa up there. They've shot up 2 spas here in Zone 2. So we need to make sure if we have any Asian spas, we need to be checking on them.
Police capture Long after a brief pursuit. This morning, investigators say it's extremely likely he's connected to all 3 shootings. 6 of the 8 victims are of Asian descent. Authorities are now trying to determine a motive and whether race played a role.
Of course. And what did they find out when they interviewed this guy? He was an insane sex addict that just snapped. And it had absolutely nothing to do with race. The guy was obviously just demented. But that did not stop the Democratic Party from trying to take up the mantle and bring the Asian community under heel to say, you're all victims. You need to stand behind. We're going to take care of you. You can't fend for yourself. The world is so full of hate. Of course, Joe Biden leading the charge on this idea, taking up with the months-old thing of white supremacists now running the country.
President Biden tonight with a forceful call to end violence against Asian Americans.
We have to change our hearts. Hate can have no safe harbor in America. It must stop. Too many Asian Americans have been walking up and down the streets and worrying. They've been attacked, blamed, scapegoated, and harassed. They've been verbally assaulted, physically assaulted, killed.
Earlier, the president spent more than 90 minutes meeting.
I can't begin to tell you how disgusting that is, particularly when you start to look at the statistics around this. I mean, every person of any race or color or age or sex that's harassed, it's just disgusting. There are just some real degenerates walking amongst us. No doubt about it. We had the knockout game. Was going on for the past several years. I don't know if it's still going on. I haven't seen the headlines about it, but this is where people would just walk up behind somebody and just knock them out. Like they consider this some kind of a game. You've got gangs running around that do initiations where you maybe have to go out and kill somebody. You have to go out and beat somebody up. Not a big deal there. Now, this is the president of the United States trying to stoke another racial division. Try to get the Asian community to play the part of victim.
Privately with Asian American activists and legislators, including State Senator Michelle Au, who had a message for Mr. Biden.
The Asian community is scared. We are living in terror. We have been for the past year at least. And this latest incident here in Atlanta is just taking place on top of a culture of fear of violence.
Even though she knows very well, as does Joe Biden, that this attack in Atlanta had absolutely nothing to do with Asian people. This was a guy who saw these massage parlors as a temptation. He was a sex addict, and he snapped. He said it. The police have said it. I don't even think they're even investigating. This was within hours of the arrest. They interviewed this kid, this deranged child, who went and shot these places up. Within hours, they came out and said this was not racially motivated. This congresswoman knows this. President Biden knows this. But it just doesn't stop them. They've got to continue to stoke this idea that this was just another incident pointing to this hatred for Asians now.
Reported attacks on Asian Americans in the past year jumped to almost 4,000 amid the pandemic.
This recent surge has been driven by the racist political rhetoric of the former president and many of his colleagues.
And there it is, blaming Donald Trump.
Kung flu. Yeah.
Reports show anti-Asian sentiment on social media increased dramatically after former President Trump first used the hashtag Chinese virus last spring.
Well, just leading more credence to my point that if you took what Donald Trump said and somehow turned that into a racial issue, then you're just one of these a-holes we have to live amongst. You're an idiot. When I come back, I'm going to play this guy. His name is Kangmin Lee. He's a YouTuber. He's an Asian guy. You know, I think it's probably dangerous for me as a white guy to sit up here and talk about race and, you know, what do I know? Me with all of my privilege. But this guy, he's an Asian guy, and he starts talking about these statistics. Hopefully, the Asian community listens to him and not to Joe Biden or any of these race pimps that are trying to turn this into an issue that really does not exist. They talked about the statistics there, the 4,000 attacks, the way they phrase it, the 4,000 attacks on Asian Americans. Well, I'll let Kangmin Lee explain to you what attacks means when we come back. Stay with us.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and we're talking about race because it's just not talked about enough. We just don't have enough conversations about race. I'm talking about the Asian community being social justice warriors, the left, the race hustlers and political pimps trying to bring the Asian people into their camp of victims. And I just did some math. And I don't do math as well as a lot of Asians. Is that racist to say that Asians are better than me at math? I just did some math. You just heard a clip where they said that the tax on Asians, and I'm going to let this Asian YouTuber explain to you those statistics in a little bit of greater detail that the news media, they kind of leave out. But they said attacks against Asian Americans have increased in the past year up to 4,000. Here's a little perspective on that. I just did a little bit of research during just the this is how easy it is to realize how bad the media is at deceiving people, trying to stoke fear and hatred among the people. 4,000 people attacked as Asian Americans. There are approximately 825,000 assaults every year. Now, this is physical assaults. 825,000 in this country. That 4,000 attacks against Asians is a 0.48% or half of 1% were Asians, which is interesting because Asian Americans are 5.4% of the population. They are actually wildly underrepresented in assaults in the United States, even with these what the media call just shocking numbers and this rise in Asian hatred. This is what they're trying to stoke. It's one of the most disgusting things I've ever seen. And that's saying a lot in today's times. And I know I'm one shooting behind. We had this nut job going to the King Supers out in Boulder, Colorado yesterday. Again, we're never guaranteed another day. There's freaks everywhere. But statistically, still very small. So Asian Americans at 4,000 assaults a year, they're still wildly underrepresented. Again, there's 825,000 assaults a year in the United States. This is according to, I think those were 2018 numbers. I find it kind of hard to believe. It's probably a little higher by now, wouldn't you think? Anyway, this is Kangmin, K-A-N-G-M-I-N, Lee. He's a YouTube guy, and he is an Asian. And he's talking about it because he sees what's happening here. Joe Biden, the media, the Democrats push to try to convince Asian Americans they're under attack to make them fearful. Joe Biden says they're all scared walking down the street. Well, I got to tell you, with 825,000 assaults a year and they are only one half of 1% of those attacks, it feels to me like I guess a lot of whites and blacks should be walking down the street in fear, too, because they're largely leaving the Asian community alone if you look at the statistics, but we don't like to look at the statistics, you know, to get any perspective. We just like to use the numbers to scare everybody. Here's Kangmin Lee talking about this push to make an Asian scared and make them feel like they're being hunted in the streets.
Actual stats surrounding the surge in anti-Asian hate crimes. So one commonly cited statistic is that anti-Asian hate crimes have jumped 1,900% nationwide. But it's misleading. It was actually only for New York, and according to the NYPD data, where it went from one Asian hate crime in 2019 to 20 in 2020. But for the whole nation, here are some stats. On the day Stop AAPI Hate released a report documenting nearly 3,800 instances of anti-Asian hate during the pandemic, nearly 70% against Asian women, a man killed 8 in shootings targeting Asian businesses. 6 of the 8 killed were Asian women. So this is extremely misleading. So this is true that there are 1,800 incidents of anti-Asian hate, but let me pull up this graph for you guys. And this is according to Stop AAPI Hate. Only 11% of that, which is still a lot, that's over 400 incidents of physical assault, but only 11% of those 3,800 were physical assault. Most of them were just verbal harassment, name-calling, and avoidance and shunning.
Yeah, so this is what they're saying, that Asians are being hunted in the streets. They're trying to convince the Asian community And, you know, the inference is that it is white people who are coming after him, right? The white supremacists, that we are a country of hate and intolerance and all of these other. They are trying to convince the Asian community to be scared to walk down the street because of this. And so they're twisting all of these statistics. When it turns out that most of what is being called the attacks on the Asian community is, again, the a-holes among us somehow verbally saying something to them, saying something nasty, and that being reported. Or shunning. Look, when I was in college, me and my buddies, we were shunned by women all the time. I don't think I ever reported it as some kind of a hate crime, but shunning is included in this statistic that they are trying to use to make Asians fearful of walking down the street in the United States. Here is Kingman Lee again, finishing this up and looking at the statistics. I mean, if they're going to quote the, what they do with these statistics, they take the biggest numbers they can possibly, you know, if the increase is, and we saw this with COVID. You know, it doesn't impress me when you say hospitalizations are up 76%. But I don't know what that means. Does that mean there were three and now there's five? You know, that's a big difference rather than, or are you telling me there's 1,000 and now there's 1,760 in the hospital? See, these statistics are just designed, if it bleeds, it leads. It's designed to get the reaction out of people that the media is seeking, which is always fear and victimhood.
And according to VOA News, hate crimes targeting Asians spiked 150% in major U.S. cities. So we see here on this graph, this was last updated March 1st. Most of them happened in New York and then L.A., Boston, Seattle, San Jose, San Francisco, Philadelphia, Cleveland. Notice how these are all Democrat cities and they're all run by Democrats and they all have the most progressive policies. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? So then we know that there is a spike in Asian anti-Asian hate crimes, and we know that there isn't 3,800 instances of violent crime, but actually only 11% of that. But who's committing these crimes? Unfortunately, there isn't clear data compiled for this for 2020 and 2021, but the most recent data we have is from the DOJ Bureau of Justice Statistics. So I'm going to pull up this chart here, and we see, let's look at the last line. So for Asians, there were 182,230 instances of violent crime, and 24.1% of them were from white people, and 27.5% of them were from black people.
So, doesn't really fit the white supremacist narrative there, but again, Kangman Lee on YouTube is about the only person that you're going to hear that statistic come from. I watched these videos. I didn't comment on them because I don't care. I don't like to talk about race. The less we talk about it, again, I go back to the basketball tournament. When those kids are competing in basketball, when they're training, when they field a team, they don't care about race. They want to win games. They want the best guys on the court. They shut up about race. Now, do they get into the locker room and say, well, we're going to take a knee, and a couple of them, you know, say they're going to take a knee? That's fine. But when push comes to shove, when they want their organization to succeed, they just want the best players on the court to win games. And if that's into five black guys starting and playing the entire game and a white guy coming in as a scrub at the very end, then so be it. Alabama has moved on to the Sweet 16. It's working. No Alabama fan is challenging the makeup of the team. So I don't really like to talk about race. The bottom line, I mean, of all of this stuff, if we would shut up about it, seriously. I think even, who was it, Morgan Freeman that said the best thing to do for race relations is to shut up talking about it. I'm wildly paraphrasing there, but I believe he said it, and he's dead on right. Now, to watch the Asian community trying to be brought into, and again, the guy's right. I mean, these are all happening in a Democratic city. So you're going to have a bunch of Democrats come out and tell you that you're victims in their cities, and yet somehow they're going to protect you? Stick with us. We know you're being assaulted actually in our backyard, but if you just give us a little bit more power, make sure that you vote for us, maybe we'll get around to doing something about that for you. I don't know what the Democrat argument is at this point. This is for the black community, for the Asian community. I don't really know. When you look at these Democrat-run cities and you see the outcomes for minority groups and majority groups, it doesn't matter what group. There is not a group well being served in any of these major Democratic cities. I don't know what the appeal is. I don't know what their selling point is. Yeah, we've made a mess of things so far, but we swear next time we're going to fix it all if you just throw in with us. We're going to protect. Well, I mean, we haven't protected you so far, but at any day now, we're going to start protecting you if you just come down to this rally and cry racism. Eventually, that'll make it all better. I don't know what the Democrats are selling anymore exactly to these communities, but I'm telling you, it might work. And with the Asian community at all, the reason it took, I mean, the reason it took so long to get to the Asian community is because they've just been so busy succeeding in the United States. They really haven't had a lot of time for victiming. Probably not real interested in it. I'm sure people told them, oh, don't you feel like a second-class citizen in the United States? And they went, well, I don't know. I just graduated from Harvard. I just graduated from Harvard with a mathematics degree. And now I'm a scientist with NASA. I don't know. I've got to feel like the American dream is alive. But they are trying to take this wildly successful community and convince them that actually they're victims. Quit achieving so much. Now you've got an excuse to not achieve anymore, Asian Americans, because we're going to convince you that America and particularly white people are against you. I would like to say with their academic record, I would really like to think that maybe the Asian community is smarter than this. But I got to tell you, never discount the appeal and the relentlessness of the social justice warrior army that tries to cast everybody outside of the straight white male as some kind of a victim.
Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
After the break, and talk about, I saw Tate Reeves' press conference yesterday, some clips from it. I'm here to bring you good news. He's proud of you. He's proud of us. That makes you feel warm and fuzzy. I'm going to talk about Tate Reeves' press conference when we come back, and then we're going to get into Tech Tuesday. I want to talk about this little mini film I saw on YouTube. I'm going to tell you the society that was depicted in this dystopian future film, and I got to tell you, it feels like it is right around the corner. Not one of these, Blade Runner type things. Now, this was something that I could see happening imminently within the next 6 months to 5 years, and it almost feels inevitable to me, and it's not good. Fascinating little film, though. It's only 15 minutes. I'll tell you the title of it. I don't have it in front of me right now, but you might want to just check it out and see what you think. You know, we do so much that is unnecessary in this world, and it is, I submit to you each and every day here on this show that it is done by political leadership, by people seeking power over you, people seeking monetary gain, by exploiting things that should not be exploited, just like this rush to try to tell Asians you're being hunted in the United States when the statistics just do not bear that out in any way, shape, or form. The Asian community has realized the American dream maybe as well as any immigrant group ever. And I saw something months and months ago. I've always kind of had it in my holster as a topic on this, and I may get to it at another point. What if this is hell? Now, that sounds very dark and depressing. And I'm not advocating this as an idea, because look, you look at the smile of a child, a beautiful sunset, a great vacation, fun times. There is so much in life here that is just really wonderful and uplifting and just great. puts a smile on your face, just makes you feel fantastic, falling in love, having people who care about you. There's wonderful, wonderful things. And there's all the rest of this crap that I tell you is driven by politicians and other scam artists, be they the race hustlers or financial shenanigans go on. The wars. I mean, just look at the wars. So the uplifting side of it is, if this is actually hell, I can't remember where I read this, but it was intriguing to me. I think it's very optimistic because maybe this is as bad as it gets. It means that whatever's next, whatever is the real life we're meant to lead, is actually fantastic. We all somehow screwed up there and found ourselves here. I mean, you just look at some of the real tragedies that go on in this planet. And it's the hate of some of the people we have to live amongst. You look at this guy who shot up this grocery store yesterday. There's something like 12 million children in Syria are at risk of starvation now because of U.S. foreign policy, because of the psychopaths that have run our foreign policy for decades now, including the Trump administration and the Obama administration. It's just completely pointless. There's no reason for it whatsoever. So some of these just horrific, overarching things, the people that have been destroyed over this past year by these politicians and these hysterics, some of them I'll highlight in this next segment when I come back. So much of it is unnecessary. If we viewed the world as the University of Alabama basketball coach and the team players did yesterday, just to go in to accomplish a goal. And, you know, sure, sometimes there's disappointments in the season. I watched one of their players, Perry, yesterday. Man, he couldn't buy a bucket in their last game, and he's supposed to be one of their stars. I haven't watched Alabama play this season. But I was watching him in the last game, not the game last night, and I was just thinking, oh, poor guy. I mean, he was missing everything, but he's a star, and you could tell he was hustling. You could tell he was frustrated. I knew he was a good player, but he was missing every shot, and I thought, oh, that poor guy. Man, he lit it up last night. I love seeing the smile on his face. He was having a great game to get his team into the Sweet 16. My point being, I'm not saying this is hell. I think it's kind of a comforting thought because we all do pass away. And to think that we've already lived through the worst we can possibly live through, which is this, and it even has some great moments along the way. Some people live fantastic lives. So if this is your hell, that's something to be very optimistic about. But the bottom line is our society could be so much better if we just chased away the people that seek to rule over us, just left us alone. Like they leave alone these basketball teams to just get the job done, to enjoy the game, to cooperate, to cheer each other on. The hatred, the division, the things that are stoked, whether it's wars or interracially, these things are stoked by other people. Why we let these people continue to influence us and live amongst us is beyond me. I'll be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me here. I wanted to get into Tate Reeves' speech yesterday. We had this was in celebration of the milestone of 100 jabs in arms. I find it even creepy that that's how they're referring to this thing. Maybe they know it's not actually a vaccine. These mRNA things are not actually a vaccine, so they're just trying to not lie as much as they probably would, and so they just call, we want to get shots in arms. I don't know. Something about that. Just like, we want to stick you. But yesterday, Tate Reeves did a press conference to talk about the 1 million shots given, something like 10% of our population, 300 and something thousand have been fully vaccinated. And so this was an occasion of great joy that the governor decided to come out and talk to us about. And I just wanted to bring you the good news in case you didn't hear it. Tate Reeves and Thomas Dobbs are proud of you. You know, like parents are proud of children. Trust me, I know I'm hypersensitive to this stuff. But essentially, it was a thing to praise the great Mississippians who behaved themselves. And you've won the ineffective mask mandate, and now they've crossed the $1 million vaccination line, where a million people in this state. Well, I guess that would probably be around 700,000, because I think in that million shots, some people got double doses. So somewhere in the 600,000 to 700,000 Mississippians have volunteered to be part of this phase three trial. They don't know that, but that's exactly what's happened. But they wanted to come out and tell you that they were proud of you. And they extolled the virtues of the rugged Mississippian. How we rose to the occasion during coronavirus. And I know I am out of the mainstream on this. I was listening during the news break. You know, the Colorado governor came out and talked about the shooting. I mean, I guess that's part of the job. But what these politicians, after some kind of tragedy, they come out and they say, we condemn the violence, thoughts and prayers. It was a tragic event. All these things that are just duh. I mean, do they have to be said? Are we all waiting to hear what our governor says? Was that a tragic event or not? I don't know. The governor hasn't spoken yet. Oh, yeah, he called it a tragic event. We should send hopes and prayers because the governor is. I'm hypersensitive to this because yesterday it was this idea. And again, Tate Reeves is not doing anything that any other politician did. This is not really it's more a jab at the political culture here, where they come out and they're proud of you. We're like children to them. You did what you were told. We're so proud of you. I wanted to bring up one thing that I thought was kind of interesting, is that during the course of his speech yesterday, he reported the fact that we had zero deaths yesterday and the lowest case count since May of last year. Now, bear with me. Maybe I don't understand the new science that they keep spouting off about. But didn't we get rid of the mask mandate and restrictions on restaurants like 3 weeks ago? How is it possible, if the mask mandate and the restrictions on restaurants is what saved us all, how is it that when those are lifted, we're not seeing dramatic spikes 3 weeks later? Because they always tell us, remember? Oh, Christmas. 2 weeks after, oh, we've got all these people getting together for Christmas. In 2 weeks, we're going to see a surge. Don't get together. Don't go see your friends and family during the holidays. Oh, the New Year's Eve parties, the Super Bowl parties, the Sturgis bike rally. They're always telling us 2 weeks after these events where a bunch of people get together, we're going to see a spike. Well, 3 weeks ago, we got rid of the mask mandates and crickets. Nothing's happening. The cases are going down. The deaths are going down. It's almost like, I don't know, anyone? It's a seasonal virus like every other virus. Now, I'll go ahead and spoiler alert, at no point during the speech yesterday did Tate Reeves come out and go, huh, this is weird. The cases are continuing to go down and the hospitalizations are going down and the deaths are now down to zero, even without a mask mandate. I guess we didn't need that. Sorry. He didn't say that, in case you're wondering. But it is just this idea that our political class comes out and congratulates us for really weathering the storm. I don't need a pat on the back for anybody for anything. That's just, life is full of challenges. It's always full of challenges. Human beings have been overcoming challenges, whether they're under a government or not, right? That's life. Hurricanes, floods, viruses, personal tragedies, financial challenges. Everybody lives through challenges. You don't have an option. You just do the best that you can with what you got, and you adjust. And I don't need leadership for that. It's the human condition. These politicians who think that they can somehow micromanage all of the conditions of our lives to assure us everything will turn out great for us are just assuming control of something uncontrollable. Now, if somebody races into a burning home and rescues a family, At the moment of decision, they decide that my life is worth risking to rescue those five people in that home, or that one old lady in the home, or whoever it might be. And they race into a burning home and rescue five people. That is the kind of heroics that can be singled out as a really amazing decision, and this person deserves some level of public acclaim for that kind of act of courage. But telling all Mississippians how proud you are that they made it through, that they use this, and every governor does this. It's kind of like rock bands, you know, they go around to every city. Hello, Jackson! And everybody cheers. You do know the next night he goes and says, hello, Birmingham, and then hello, Atlanta, and then hello, Charlottesville. I mean, you know, everybody, it is this idea that every governor comes out and talks about the indomitable spirit of the citizens of that state. I'm not saying we don't have good citizens here, but it's just life. People were just living their lives, and they would have actually been more courageous had you given them the opportunity to be free for a while and make their own decisions. What this reversal of the mask mandate is, and you're seeing cases still going down, deaths going down to zero, what you're seeing is that what I see when I go to the grocery store, I'm the only person not wearing a mask in the grocery store. I'm it. I think I've seen one or two other people in about five trips to the grocery store that were not wearing a mask. Now, I'm going onto private property. I respect that. If they come and ask me to put a mask on, I will. But I'm trying to break down a little bit of the fear. Maybe one person says, oh, I don't have to be scared to not wear a mask. I don't know if it's effective or not. Maybe I look like a jerk to people. I don't care. I don't believe in the masks. I don't think they're healthy for me. And I'm not protecting anybody else because I'm not sick. But you would really think that this completely debunks the whole idea that the masks were saving us all. It shows just that this is a virus like any other, and it's seasonal. And maybe I'm being too sensitive to this stuff. Maybe you think it's nice. It's nice that the governor come out and recognize our sacrifices. You do understand he's the one that pretty much forced the sacrifices for most people. Now, elderly people in nursing homes, they needed to be pretty cautious in 2020 and right now. But outside of that, most of the things we suffered through were actually at the hands of the government, and then the government comes out and tells you how proud they are for going along with the things they made you suffer through. Does that make sense? They impose the conditions that are the most challenging. This virus would have been challenging for some, for sure. Flu season is challenging for some. Heart conditions are challenging for some. Diabetes is challenging for some. But most of the challenges that normal, healthy, under 65-year-olds faced in 2020 was at the hands of their own governments, their mayors, their governors, or the federal government. I'm not to be patted on the back for succumbing and being a good citizen. That's how it hits me. It's thank you for being a good citizen and doing as you were told. If you keep this up, we're going to reward you. This was Joe Biden with his whole, now, if you do everything like we tell you to, maybe on July 4th, we'll give you a hot dog and let you have a couple of friends over. But we're going to have to wait and see. This is the Joe Biden message to everybody. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
I am, Mike. How are you today?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good. You know, really, I wish you would just play all of Tate Reeves' inspirational speeches.
Did it move you?
Because he is so moving and inspirational, and he's so proud to be a Mississippian, and of all of his Mississippians.
I mean, we have an indomitable spirit.
If Ole Miss and Mississippi State ever decided they wanted to get serious and win a national championship in football, they should bring in Tate Reeves to be the pregame inspirational speaker and motivator
to fire up the troops
for the team.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Does it make your life a little better to know that your governor and your health authority, Thomas Dobbs, they're proud of you? I mean, you know, does that add a little boost in your step, a little pep in your step today?
My thing is, I want to know. I want to meet the person who has convinced Governor Reeves that his speeches are inspirational and motivating and wonderful. I hate to tell you this, Governor Reeves, but really you would be better off if you didn't give any more speeches.
I understand your cadence. I get the cadence. I notice that too. And I'd like to say most people do as well.
It's just not there, brother. It's just not there. I'm not trying to give him lessons. I'm not the guy to give him lessons, but I can tell him that what he's doing ain't working.
Well, you've given me an idea, because I got to tell you, and this is, I struggle with this. You know, I really try to do the right things for my health, and one of those things is sleep, and I've had some real problems sleeping. Really, the last couple of months, my sleep cycles have been interrupted. Maybe I need to go find that speech on YouTube.
Well, there would be some, I don't know, it might also have the opposite effect and do a zombie-type thing to where you would just be zoned out and not even know what's going on.
Well, I'm afraid what would happen is I might drift off during a Tate Reeves speech. And again, I'm not really picking on Tate. I don't want to hear words out of really any politician. Some are better at it than others. He's not exactly an all-star in the giving speeches. I think my problem would be if I dozed off during Tate's speech, the second Thomas Dobbs came on, the anger, my blood pressure would shoot through the roof and I'd pop wide awake. So I guess I need to make sure I edit him out. Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate it. I'm glad
They're
you found
quite
it.
As, the pair.
Yeah.
They are quite the pair.
Glad you found it as inspirational as I did. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Bye. All right. I got to run to a quick break. I had a couple of clips on vaccine. One of these clips on vaccines. Now, this is from the BBC over in England. I've talked endlessly on this show about the fact that American males are losing testosterone. I've talked about estrogen improving or not improving, but estrogen enhancing foods. I think there may be some estrogen in these vaccines, too. I'll let this BBC reporter explain why. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
I got to tell you, I mean, sometimes for some reason, I can't even explain it. I get this little pang. I start to feel bad. I'm not trying to pile on Tate. I mean, at least Tate Reeves was one of the first, and we made national news by him removing the restrictions. My problem is that's a little short. That's a little short of what I'd like to see, which is, gosh, we didn't do any better than South Dakota. I guess these restrictions were completely pointless. I'm sorry, Thomas Dobbs talked me into this. I don't know what he was thinking. Florida's killing it. Our real problem is not masking. It's not social distancing. It's we're too fat. Let's all in the state. I don't know. If Tate Reeves could take the podium and convince Mississippians to drop a few, I got some statistics for tomorrow's health show that are stunning. If he could convince that, then maybe I'd listen to a thing where he comes out. If Mississippians lost, you know, got our BMI under control and stopped being the fattest state in the country, or in the top two. I think us in New Mexico, West Virginia, Louisiana, all kind of vying for the title. If he actually bumped us up where we were one of the more fit states, I think maybe then we're proud of you, press conference. I might be able to stomach it, because that would be people doing really something for their health. What they've been doing for the last year that he's so proud of is just kneeling to government control over our schools, our churches, our businesses, and our faces. So, that being said. I thought this was interesting when it comes to the vaccine. And again, Tate Reeves' thing yesterday was about the 1 millionth jab in the arm accomplished. This was Elon Musk saying something, and this was back in it was talking about mRNA technology. Now, Elon Musk is not a doctor. He's not a health professional. Psst, neither is Bill Gates. I don't want to tell his secrets, but Bill Gates has no medical training whatsoever. But anyway, Elon Musk is not a doctor, but he had this to say about mRNA, and it bolsters something I talked about a couple of weeks ago that I'll talk about again.
I think there's going to be a lot of breakthroughs on the medical front, particularly around synthetic mRNA. You can basically do anything with synthetic RNA, DNA. It's like a computer program. So
what?
I mean, I think with enough with effort, that's not too crazy. You could probably stop aging, reverse it if you want. You can basically do it. You can turn someone into a freaking butterfly if you want with the right DNA sequence. So I mean, caterpillars do it.
Basically, said it's a new software platform. So all of you out there getting the jabs in the arm, are they explaining that to you? You're being updated. You're getting the latest Bill Gates update through your vaccine. Now, this ties into, as I said, I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. As I say, Elon Musk, not a scientist, not a medical scientist, not a doctor, not an immunologist. He's just kind of speaking about the technology of mRNA. Again, this is brand new, never been mass vaccinated with an mRNA vaccine before, but we're doing it with the Pfizer and the Moderna shots. This was Dr. Ty Zaks. He is the chief medical officer at Moderna. In a 2017 TED Talk, how the company's mRNA vaccine was designed to work. Over the last 30 years, he said, quote, "We've been living this phenomenal digital scientific revolution, and I'm here today to tell you that we are actually hacking the software of life and that it's changing the way we think about prevention and treatment of disease." Went on to explain the human body is made up of organs, and organs are made up of cells. Quote, "In every cell, there's a thing called a messenger RNA, or mRNA for short, that transmit the critical information from the DNA in our genes to the protein, which is really the stuff we're all made of. This is critical information that determines what the cell will do, so we think about it as an operating system." Quote, "So if you could change that, if you could introduce a line of code, or change a line of code, it turns out, it has profound implications for everything from flu to cancer." So you're all being hacked. You're getting the latest software update in this mRNA vaccine. I know that they're kind of, that's simplistic. I understand it. Still a little creepy to me, I got to tell you. Because if I trusted the people that were reprogramming us, and I don't, I would still be suspicious of putting myself up to anything that somebody was going to reprogram my DNA with. But I don't trust the people that are doing it. But anyway, Mississippian Tate Reeves took the victory lap. 1 million people have gotten a jab. About 600,000 of you are fully vaccinated now. So I guess you don't share the same concerns I do. I am a little concerned that the vaccines may contain estrogen. Now, I'm being sarcastic. Don't go to your doctor and say, "What's this? Did you give me an estrogen shot?" I'm just saying, the results of what I'm seeing with some men who have gotten this vaccine make me wonder.
Welcome to Click. I would like to share with you some personal joy, if I may. I was getting ready to film the program this morning when I got the best text message that I think I've received in years, inviting me to get my first dose of the vaccine.
Congratulations. I presume you acted on it.
Yeah, sure did. Took about 3 or 4 clicks, I think, and I'm booked in for later this afternoon. So it was easy. I did that, then I had a big cry.
He had a big cry. Well, now that I look at that clip, he hasn't gotten the shot yet, so maybe it's estrogen abundance. He had a big cry. He booked his vaccination appointment, and then he had a big cry. That is how powerful fear-mongering is. You can take somebody to a level of stress where they think their life hangs in the balance if they just come in contact with another human being, to such a degree that when somebody thinks they're getting an effective vaccine for this thing, a grown man will break down in tears of joy. Whew, it's quite a world we're running here. Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com. We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I have been had attempted for a while to do a segment called Tech Tuesday. I like segments. I like to bust the show up. I mean, I can talk about how terrible Joe Biden is every day. I find that boring. I don't know how Sean Hannity does it. He is terrible, isn't he? It's not true. It's just tedious. I got into doing some technology stuff. I'm both fascinated and horrified by technology kind of across the board. I think it's very interesting where we're headed. I'm going to tell you about a little short film you need to go check out on YouTube in just a second here. I've been watching some stuff. I watched a Frontline special on AI. I got to tell you, look, I am somebody who is very free market. I understand that the horse and buggy people really freaked out when the car started rolling out. And there were a lot of people saying, hey, what are we going to do? All the horse and buggy, the what do they call the people who put shoes on horses? I would imagine there were jobs for pooper scoopers around the country. There had to have been a lot of pooper scoopers employed. And everybody freaked out when the car came. We're okay. You know, the car creates its own jobs, these kinds of things. Industries die all the time. New industries arrive. AI and robotics right now, kind of concerning. In this program I was listening to, they said that 49% of jobs could be abolished in the next 15 years. I got to tell you, that feels a little tough to absorb. Lots of very smart libertarian free market people tell you that it's going to be okay. I believe this is going to be an issue that it's going to be tough to grapple with, and particularly if the government's involved, and they will be. Anyway, as I say, I'm fascinated and also terrified by a lot of technological things we're seeing right now. But something is afoot here. So I'm going to talk in a second of this short film about the technology we have now and how terrifying it could be used in just months, weeks, months, or years very soon from this YouTube film. And then there's the technologies we don't know about. Something is going on in the UFO world. This was DNI, Director of National Intelligence, came on to Radcliffe. He was Trump's DNI. And he went on Maria Bartiromo's show. They are really rolling out this. We have a lot of evidence and a lot of videos of UFOs. They're talking a lot about this right now. And I'm wondering, I feel like there's something behind it. Do I believe that our government has suddenly become really honest and transparent? I do not. I do not in any way, shape, or form believe that they are just somehow confessing to something they've known about for a while. There is a purpose behind this. I don't know what it is, but here was Director of DNI Radcliffe from the Trump administration talking about declassifying and leveling with the American people on UFOs.
It actually is a program that's been in place for a few years in terms of a task force that has been there under the National Defense Authorization Act. But as you correctly point out, Maria, there's now a report that will be issued by the Pentagon, by the Secretary of Defense and the Director of National Intelligence. I actually wanted to get this information out and declassified before I left office, but we weren't able to get it down into an unclassified format that we could talk about quickly enough. But frankly, there are a lot more sightings than have been made public. Some of those have been declassified. When we talk about sightings, we're talking about objects that have been seen by Navy or Air Force pilots or have been picked up by satellite imagery that, frankly, engage in actions that are difficult to explain, that movements that that are hard to replicate, that we don't have the technology for, or traveling at speeds that, you know, exceed the sound barrier without a sonic boom. So, in short, things that we are observing that are difficult to explain. And so, there's actually quite a few of those. And I think that that information is being gathered and will be put out in a way that the American people can see. We always, when we see these things, Maria, we always look for a plausible explanation. You know, weather can cause disturbances, visual disturbances. Sometimes we wonder whether or not our adversaries have technologies that are a little bit further down the road than we thought or that we realized. But there are instances where we don't have good explanations for some of the things that we've seen. And, when that information becomes declassified, I'll be able to talk a little bit more about that.
Can you tell us where it was seen?
Actually, all over the world. There have been sightings all over the world. And when we talk about sightings, the other thing I will tell you is it's not just a pilot or just a satellite or some intelligence collection. Usually we have multiple sensors that are picking up these things. And so, again, some of this are just they're unexplained phenomenon. There's actually quite a few more than have been made public. So I think it'll be healthy for as much of this information to get out there as possible so that the American people can see.
Yeah. So, again, I am faced with this choice to decide, is the government suddenly going to become honest with us about things in the sky that they don't know what they are? Now, I believe a lot of what is seen by people, the videos you see going around, is a lot of military tech. They say that military technology is 40 years ahead of what we know about right now. So you take the most advanced aircraft or weaponry that you see right now rolled out and put into the latest Top Gun movie, move that 40 years ahead, and that's what the military is actually testing right now and capable of using. That's the metric that people say. They keep these things. So I would imagine the most things that people see are some of these things. I've seen footage from the International Space Center Station, very odd stuff. Again, it could be this advanced military stuff. I don't know if this is aliens. What I do know is that the government and government officials, the Pentagon, Navy, Air Force, are coming out and really talking about this a lot right now. And this goes to something that people refer to as disclosure. That they are going to disclose that there is this alien presence. Now, I'm sure everybody listening has got your own ideas about this. Oh, it's all complete hogwash. It's never happened. And there's some people who actually believe Joe Biden is a reptilian. I'm not going to argue that point. There's some evidence. The guy's, he's off. He's off for sure. They are trying to get us to eat bugs these days, too. I don't know if you've noticed this. They're talking about crickets and mealworms as a good protein source, a good sustainable protein source. This may be the reptilians just trying to get us all to start eating what they really naturally like. I don't know. But this could be either just a large distraction away from things. I don't know. I'd like this one better than another world war, which is will be the distraction of choice when we go into some kind of economic freefall, which is inevitable. I'd prefer disclosure to a world war. Is this just to boost defense spending? That is always a motive. Anytime the Pentagon opens its mouth, I covered yesterday the idea that they've run these war games and found that China beats us very quickly in all 10 war game scenarios they've run. And I believe that that is all about military spending. Or it could be just more fear-mongering to gain more control over us mere earthlings. I don't know what it is. Who knows why they're coming forward on this stuff, but I got to tell you, it's a little, I smell a rat. It's a little suspicious, but they are certainly coming at us with the UFO stuff. I guess we're going to be getting this report probably in weeks now. I believe the was something at the end of the Trump administration, something like 189 days to declassify these things. Now, of course, declassification, when the government says that, it means heavily redacted. But they're going to level with us on something, and it's going to be interesting to see. I'm just questioning their motives. When I come back, I want to talk about this YouTube video in my Tech Tuesday segment because it was terrifying. I'm going to explain it to you a little bit, and then you need to go watch it. And when you watch it, I just want you to think to yourself, is this out of the realm of possibility? When you look at the way humans are interacting right now with being the obedient citizens that we are, particularly over the last 12 months, we've seen what Americans will do to other Americans if the government tells them that these other people are a threat. Throw in a financial incentive. Can you imagine what Now, not just Americans. This is really the world. I don't want to pick on America for this. This is the world. Great Britain is just in horrible lockdowns with complete police brutality. So it would be around the world. But when you marry technology we have right now and this system that is laid out in this film, I got to tell you, it creeped me out. It feels like something coming in 6 months. I'll explain it when I come back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
Final segment for today. You can email me anytime you want to reach me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com. I'm still taking anybody who wants to give me the over-under on Joe Biden being replaced as president. I had some guesses yesterday. I'm putting them into a file. We'll see who comes closest. His health obviously failing. So I've got May of 2022. I think they got to get him through a year so it doesn't look like they pawned this elderly unhealthy man on us. They'll pretend something was unforeseen. So I think I got to give him a year and a half, but Joe's not doing so well as we saw on the stairs the other day. So if you want to email me with your pick on when Joe Biden is removed or incapacitated out of office. But also, if you watch the video I'm about to explain to you, I'd love to hear your opinions on it. You can either call in the show later on or email me and let me know what you think, because I thought this was very striking. Okay, here's the name of this video. It's long. The title of this short film is only 15 minutes long. And let me just tell you right now, I'm going to spoil the whole thing for you right now, but it's still worth watching because I want to explain to you what it is and why it was so terrifying to me. Title of the film is Utopia. A man lives in a society where citizens police each other with their mobile phones. So you can see where this is headed. So let me lay this out to you. And again, the reason I bring this up, the reason it was so striking to me, there's a lot of terrifying futuristic things. Minority Report, the idea of pre-crime. We're already kind of seeing this now. You know, personality profiling. What's your social media like? They'll start to label you as an extremist or as a domestic terrorist based on your online activity or monitoring they do. These are all, you know, pre-crime measures, but not to the, you know, the Minority Report stuff of the precogs, I guess they were, in the fluid. You know, that's futuristic stuff. This one felt very now. So a guy lives on an island somewhere. He's living his life. He's swimming in the waters. He goes to visit his brother. Ostensibly, it's Australia or Great Britain. They've got accents, but it's a Western-style country. He hasn't been there in 15 years, so he goes to visit his brother. Here's how it starts out. He runs out of the airport. He's greets his brother. Hey, brother, how are you? And they hug, and the brother doesn't look real happy. So they load into the brother's car, and the guy that comes in has dropped something on the ground. When they get in the car, they don't realize it. It's sitting on the ground behind the car. They get into the car, and the brother, this thing telescopes out of the steering wheel, and the brother has to blow into it. And this visitor brother says, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm trying to start the car. So there's this breathalyzer on the car. You can't even get the car cranked up until you've blown into the breathalyzer to let the government know you're okay to drive the car. Now, some of you out there going, hey, that's a pretty good idea. Let me keep going. So they drive off, and apparently the thing that had dropped out of the guy's pocket on his way loading the car up was viewed as trash. So some little old lady comes up behind him. She snaps a picture of the trash along with their license plate, uploads it to whatever, and all of a sudden, as they're driving down the road in this car, a message pops up on their digital screen in the car with a $250 fine. And the car stops. Of course, it's an automatic driving car now. And so the car stops until the guy pulls out his credit card and pays the $250 fine because the old lady that was walking behind him narked him out for this piece of trash. Why would she do such a thing? Because she got a 10% commission. Now I ask you, What would happen in the United States if people could turn other citizens in for poor civic behavior, like littering or cussing or anything else, and upload that to a system, and they could collect a commission on turning their fellow citizen in? And this was not using technology that is out of the realm of possibility. We already have this ability with any kind of app to upload pictures to some central registry. And so you can imagine where this leads. When they get to the guys, to the brother's house, they go inside, and the the brother is, you know, walking in, and I think he says a cuss word, and all of a sudden an alarm goes off, and cha-ching, the screen comes up, and it's $250 fine for his cuss word inside the house. The houses are now wired for sound and wired with cameras inside the house. Everything is an automatic fine. It's not a cop catching you doing something, pulling you over in a car, or you getting a summons to court and found to have... No, it's just a digital fine appears somewhere, and you pretty much are stalled in your tracks until you pay that fine. You can't move your car, can't order food, you can't do banking. Your entire life is around this fine that was automatically generated for you. And this is for citizens getting a 10% commission. What this story ends up being is that the brother doesn't really want to talk to his visiting brother anywhere in the house except for the bathroom. Apparently, in this dystopian nightmare future, the government and their loving wisdom did allow you to have privacy in your bathroom. That's the only room in the house that is not got video cameras and sensor. And, I mean, you know, you talk about, oh, Mike, they're not going to be listening on everything. Hello, Alexa. Hello, Google, whatever the other attendance people are willingly. I mean, we're paying to bring these things into our homes right now. The government doesn't even have to force us to. Most of you out there have probably got a voice attendant in your home already listening to you. So people end up in this dystopian future that I seriously feel like could be 6 months away at the pace we're going. People start to remodel their bathrooms. And the government catches on to that, and they limit the square footage of the bathrooms because people were remodeling their bathrooms to put comfy chairs in there and televisions and refrigerators. See, alcohol was also restricted. They knew if you were drinking alcohol, your refrigerator would know what was in it. Hello, 5G, that's what they're trying to do. Get your refrigerator to talk to your washing machine, to talk to the internet. So they would go into their bathrooms and they would live their lives in their bathrooms out from the prying eyes. Eventually, the government limits the size of the bathrooms. So people are just sitting on the toilets and sitting in the tubs, smoking a cigarette and drinking a beer in the bathrooms because this is the only safe place for them. And again, I encourage you to watch this. Again, it's called Utopia. A man lives in a society where citizens police each other with their mobile phones. Imagine the United States and other Western democracies, because we seem to have gone the most totalitarian. We can look at African dictatorships. They are pikers compared to exactly what we have seen in the Western world over the last 12 months of just arbitrary but mandatory lockdowns and restrictions and mask wearing and social distancing and canceling schools and closing churches and demanding businesses only serve outside or at 25. I mean, we have gone full on totalitarian control. So how long is it until the government gets that obtrusive, number one? And number two, how soon before the government figures this? I mean, this thing is terrifying to me in the idea that, oh, my God, don't give them any ideas. Look at George Flags over in Vicksburg. I'm going to pick on him again. He's got this curfew, 7:30 p.m. to 7:30 a.m. for people 17 and under in Vicksburg. He was very enthusiastic about handing over mask fines. Can you imagine in Vicksburg, which I'm sure struggles with some levels of poverty, if in Vicksburg you could take a picture of somebody breaking curfew and upload that picture of them that went to George Flagg's office so he could automatically just email out a fine to somebody? You mean to tell me that the citizens of Vicksburg would not turn each other in for a 10%? It'd be $100 every time you caught somebody breaking curfew in Vicksburg. Because he said it was going to be a $1,000 fine. I believe it was for the curfew restriction. There were some masks. Maybe your second or third mask offense was going to be $1,000. You tell me, people would not snap a picture of somebody and narc them out for $100 a pop. You would have people out there like the paparazzi hunting people violating rules if they got a commission to turn their fellow citizens in. Littering? I got to tell you, if I see somebody dumping out an ashtray in a parking lot, I'll turn you in for free. God, that's a disgusting habit. Don't do that. That is one of the most disrespectful littering things I've ever seen. People dump out a whole ashtray right in a parking lot, right outside their door, and then they just drive off. What despicable human beings. But I digress. When you watch this video, just tell me if it does not feel like something that could be rolled out on us at any minute now. You got a friend who's a Trump supporter, and they're on the lookout for Trump supporters? You think your neighbor wouldn't turn you in? Oh, I think he owns guns, too. Oh, that's an extra $10. I mean, all kinds of the possibilities are just endless. And the biggest issue is, number one, I believe human nature would foster this. We are a tattletale society. We are a society of people who think that by forcing other people to do things, it makes them better citizens. You know, we've become our own little petty tyrants. I can't allow that restaurant to allow smoking in its establishment because I don't like cigarette smoke. And so that business owner should be run out of business if he allows smoking in there. This is decades in the making of us becoming our own little petty tyrants. Add that to the technology that already exists. So the human nature piece of the puzzle is already there. And then the technological piece of the puzzle is already there with apps and phone cameras. Again, utopia. A man lives in a society where citizens police each other with their mobile phones. Check it out and let me know what you think. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.